Hello, this is Father Michael Eads from the Toronto Oratory, and you're listening to Lectio et Oratio, a short spiritual reading podcast followed by a reflection.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Remember thy congregation, which thou hast possessed from the beginning. Let us pray, O God, who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant by the same Spirit that we be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Philip Neri, pray for us. Saint Francis de Sales, pray for us. Saint John of God, pray for us. Saint John de Brebeuf, pray for us. Saint Vincent de Paul, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. Saint Hermenegild, pray for us. Saint Catherine of Siena, pray for us. Saint Peter and Saint Paul, pray for us. Saint Andrew, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Saint Maria of the Incarnation, pray for us. All you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Chapter 22 of The Spiritual Combat. How sensible things may aid us to meditate on the passion and death of our Savior. It has been shown how we may rise from the consideration of sensible things to the contemplation of the greatness of God. We must learn how to relate these things to the memory of the sacred mysteries. Our Lord's life and death. Everything in the world can be related to this end. Consider just the fact, as we have already suggested, that God is the first cause of all things. That he has given to every creature, even the most exalted, its being, beauty, and all the perfections with which it is endowed. Then admire the infinite goodness of the sovereign master of the universe, who condescended to become man and suffer an ignoble death for our salvation. He even permitted his own creatures to plot against him and nail him to the cross. If you want to enter into the details of his sufferings, everything about you will be a reminder of him. Weapons, cords, thorns, reeds, nails, and hammers will readily bring to mind the instruments of his agony. A humble cottage will represent the stable and manger where he was born. The rain falling on the earth will call to mind the bloody sweat with which he watered the Garden of Olives. The stones are figures of the rocks which split at his death. When you gaze at the sun or the earth, remember that when he died, the earth trembled and the sun grew dark. The sight of water will recall the water flowing from his side. A thousand other objects will lend themselves to these considerations. When you drink, think of the gall and vinegar which was offered as refreshment to our amiable Savior by his enemies. If you take too much satisfaction in perfumes, consider the stench of the dead carcasses that greeted him on Mount Calvary. When dressing, remember that the Son of God clothed himself with our flesh, that we might be clothed with his divinity. In removing your clothes, think of him, stripped to the hands of his executioners, about to be scourged and nailed to the cross for your sake. Any tumultuous din should recall the horrible cries of the enraged populace against their Lord. Away with him, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. whenever the clock strikes, remember the anguished beats of the Sacred Heart of Jesus when, in the Garden of Olives, he contemplated his approaching passion and death. Or it may call to mind the strokes of the hammer with which the soldiers nailed him to the cross. In brief, whatever you suffer yourself or see others undergo is far short of the pains of body and soul that your Savior suffered during his passion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Angels of God, our guardians dear, to whom God's love commits us here, ever this day be at our side to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, Teacher of teachers, have mercy on us. Saint Philip Neri, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 20 different concrete suggestions are offered to us in this chapter. 20 sensible objects, things that our senses can take in, are suggested as ways to go from this world, our immediate world, the world we're in right now, back to the time of Jesus. In chapter 21, he gave us suggestions for how we can rise from the contemplation of sensible things to the Creator. That every perfection, every beauty, every aspect of the being of a thing can be used as the starting point to consider some aspect of God, some truth about God's being and beauty and perfection. That may seem too advanced, too difficult for us. And that's why God became flesh. That's why God descended to our world and became a human, became man, took flesh, became a sensible object for us to see and to touch and to smell and to feel and even to taste. God became man because he knew that we know things first through our senses. And so he became one of us. God now has a human face. And all the things we sense were made through the Word, the Son. And they not only reflect his divinity, they also remind us of his humanity. And so in this chapter, he gives us, as I said, 20 different things that can be reminders of the life of Jesus, above all his passion. But he's not limiting it to these 20. He says 1,000 other objects will lead you to these considerations. And so we should try our best to begin very small and to just take some of these suggestions that strike us. If there's one thing of these 20 that strike us, to start trying it. Maybe especially dressing and undressing. The Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's nuns, they actually have special prayers, they say, when they put on their habit, when they take off their habit. Priests have special prayers, they say, when they put on their vestments. But Father Scupoli says, when you think of Christ as you're dressing, think of how he has clothed his divinity with our humanity. And when you're undressing at night, think of him being stripped, the soldiers removing his clothes so they could nail him to the cross. Or if there's some horrible noise, think of all the noise that was around him. Or if you smell something terrible, don't complain. Don't say, try, instead of complaining, instead of making a big deal, to try to use that to think about this terrible smell of Calvary, where so many people had died. And if the clock strikes, or if a cell phone goes off, or if you're in church and someone else's cell phone goes off, or your alarm clock on your cell phone goes, or some other noise goes off, try to think about the beating of Christ's heart. Try to think of this, the hammering of the nails, the ding, ding, ding. Our Lord said, "No one comes to the Father but through me." And if we really want to contemplate the greatness and beauty of the divinity of God, if we really want to be led to his inner life, there's one way: the humanity of Jesus Christ. His humanity is the door to the divinity. And since we have senses, because we can see and touch and taste and smell and hear things, we're supposed to use our senses to contemplate his humanity. And through the humanity of Jesus, we'll be led into the inner life of God. The Son of God became man to take away our sins, yes, but also to raise us up, to share in the divine life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. He comes to give us life. The life of the Holy Trinity, the life of the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.